Hello and welcome to Watch Where Crap Ends, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker. Joining me today is my very own sweetie honey boo-boo, Ronnie Karam. How are you?
Well, hello, Benoons. How's everything going?
Everything is grand. Thanks to everyone who joined us yesterday on Amazon Live, where I personally had the best time ever doing puppetry with steamers. And then afterwards on Crappy Hour, we had a lot of fun discussion. And did you see that we already have an update on one of the things that we talked about, which
that's crazy, huh?
Yeah, we speculated about whether or not Margaret Josephs would be coming back to New Jersey, seeing given that she is now shooting something for Amazon. We thought, we don't think she's going to come back. And then today she dropped the news. All right, everyone, had a lot of talks with Andy and with the network, and I've decided it's time for me to move on from the Housewives. Had a great time. I'm already here on my next project, okay? Jody is under a palm tree. Other Jody is under a different palm tree. And Joe is somewhere looking for his seafoam polo shit. So I'm no longer going to be part of Real Housewives of New Jersey, but I want to thank NBCU and Andy Cohen and that dumb bitch Teresa Giudice for making my life hell for the past 8 years of my life. And of course, we got to thank Serena and Tenafly for giving me all the news that I needed to get by in New Jersey for nearly an entire decade on that TV show.
I'd just like to say thank you to Andy Cohen for, you know, choosing a stalker with a stalker husband who looks like an eggplant over me. Thank you so much. That felt great. I am glad that you have chosen Jailbait over Margaret Josephs. So good luck, you fucking losers. Yeah, I was saying on the show last night, do not make them choose between you and Teresa. That's just never going to work. And it never works on these shows. And I
never
think
does.
What happened? Damn it, Marge. I love you. Don't do this to us.
I'm really sad to lose Margaret on that show. I think that she ushered in the great era of Real Housewives of New Jersey. I think, like, I never really loved the show as much as I did as when she was on it. I enjoyed it in its, like, its first pre-jail run. I enjoyed it, but I never loved it. And then it was in the post-jail run when she was there and we had this great cast that I really, really grew to love New Jersey. So we'll see what happens with the new look New Jersey, if it ever arrives. But I think this is a big loss, personally.
Yeah, what a bummer.
I know. It's all I wanted was Margaret to last longer. Oh, well.
What a bummer. Okay, well, today, someone else who's about to make someone make a choice and lose their job. Ellie on Below Deck Down Under, Season 4, Episode 8, Call Me By My Name. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. So, Eddie, Mike, and Jenna, they are still in the vans. And Jenna has just told off Eddie because Eddie is trying to repair his image with her after he had texted Alicia that he would drop Jenna in a second to be an alien with Alicia. And Jenna's like, I'm nobody's second place. So,
you fucked up on your first fucking day. How does somebody fucking do that? I'm serious. And this is where I'm at. You burn your bridges with me. Your bridges are burning with me.
It's like, oh no. So they get back to the yacht and Joao's like laying on this like romance offense, on Daisy. He's like, let me help you out of the van and I'm going to kiss your hand like the Prince Charming that I am.
I'm a gentleman now. So he helps her out. She's like, oh, well, thank you very much. Also, it's just like watching Bridgerton, really.
Yeah.
So then Eddie's walking with Alicia and he's like, I really fucked it with Jenna. And she's like, mate, did you ever think you ever had it? You know what? If you think you fucked it with Jenna, the last person you should immediately walk to for solace in front of Jenna is Alicia. You dumbass. Since you kind of fucked it with Jenna over Alicia. And he's like, wow, thanks for that. Thanks. Guess I just never had
Seriously.
It. Never felt shorter. I've never felt shorter.
I feel so short. So then Jenna, Daisy, and Joao are talking. And Jenna tells Daisy that she's like, yeah, I went off on Eddie. I'm nobody's second option. So I don't know where we go from here. I'm like, you go nowhere. And that's where you've been, by the way. You guys like shared like a kiss with this uncharismatic mustachioed dud. And I think it's just time to move on and like, you know, get back to the primary goal, which is thinking that you might have a chance of ascending on the social ladder by falling in love with a guest that comes onto the show.
Well, I think her other choice is Ben, isn't it? It's like,
oh yeah, there's Ben too. Yeah.
Lots of bad choices on Jenna's.
It's grim future. Grim yeah. options for her.
It truly is. So Ben is lying down in the crew mess, and Jenna joins him and asks how he's feeling. And he's like, I'm tired. She's like, we're all tired. Jesus. So then Joao texts Daisy, and he's like, would you like a glass of red Zinfandel? Wow.
And she's like, I'm about to go turn in next time. So now people go to sleep, and Eddie says that the hot tub is cold. And we go back to Jenna and Ben. And Jenna's like trying to tie her dress. He's like, would you like me to tie that for you, sugar paddles? And she's like, yeah, if my boobs drop, I apologize. Well, you would not have to apologize for that. Is that good? Do you like how I tied it on you, honey lumps?
Let me read your tattoo here. Therefore, I am God's masterpiece. The fuck does that mean?
She's like, I was a really rebellious kid. Is that a rebellious kid where you come from?
I know.
God loves me. Can I get a tattoo? I wanted to say God loves me. Oh my God. I'm going to really give a fuck you to the world. Could you put Jesus saves with a little fish on my arm? Yeah, fuck you, mom. Sucker.
One of my favorite themes on Below Deck are the people who are like big rebels, and then they come and join the show, or they go into the yachting industry, because I think like the yachting industry is an extension of the rebellion. Like, I'm not going to do a standard job. I'm going to be a rebel. I'm going to go into yachting. But it's just kind of like saying, I'm such a rebel that I've decided to become a servant for someone who's wealthy.
I'm a rebel. Get me a broom.
I would like to insert myself into a traditional hierarchy, please.
I'm going to be a rebel, and I'm going to choose a career where I say please and thank you to everything that's ever said to me. God damn it. Jesus saves.
It's just so funny. It happens every year. There's always someone who's like and declares himself a rebel, and it's like you are sweeping up after a wealthy person who just like vomited into their champagne glass and poured it onto the teak.
You're going to be pulling a pussy liner off of a wall in about 5 minutes. Okay.
Rebel! I'm a rebel.
That's so funny. I think it's so funny that they call him pussy liners.
I know. Well, because that was some rebel who came up with that slang. But it takes an even bigger rebel to say, hey, take that panty liner off the wall and put it in the trash. Rebel!
So Eddie comes in, and Jenna is asking Ben if he was a rebel or if he was a nerd. And he's like,
I was clever. I was captain of chess and stuff like that.
So Eddie comes by and he touches her head, and then he just stands there kind of awkwardly by his bedroom door looking at her. And she's like, what are you not understanding? Am I like supposed to go in there and comfort you because you're pouting?
Yeah,
shut up, Eddie. Away. Get back in there, Eddie, fucking loser. And Eddie doesn't seem like a mean person or anything, but gosh, it's like Eddie's just not used to having chances with girls, I don't think. And yeah. Like he saw himself with two chances, and you can't choose both doors, Eddie, okay?
Yeah, he's like not charismatic enough to be our hero, and he's not vile enough to be our villain. He's just sort of very like this milk toasty guy who got himself into a bad situation with two women, and it's just like, ugh. Go to sleep and do something with
a mediocre tomorrow. Appetizer tray that you're just like, am I hungry enough to eat that? I really don't want another tuna tartare. And you just don't. Just go away. Okay.
Yeah, you know what it is? He's like the tray of crudités that's on the table that someone brought with the little, you know, like sour cream, like an onion dip in the center. Not even that. It's like that
from the store that still got
the store with the plastic. Like
peel the plastic off of it. Yeah.
And it's like not bad per se, but it's just not not interesting. You're gonna go for almost anything before that, but eventually like I guess I'll have it. It's like, it's okay if you dip this cherry tomato in that dip, it's like passable.
Yeah,
it's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So Eddie, Mike is sleeping in their room, and Eddie comes in and he's like, you're a sleep mate, aren't you?
Does anyone want to hear from me?
Does anybody need to hear my rugby feelings? So Ben comes in to check on him, and he's like,
Eddie?
And he's like, I fucked it with her. I fucked it. He's like, what'd you do, bro? He's like, but I really like her. I just ended up fucking it with her. You know, she's one and done. No chances, nothing. That's that. I don't get another chance to say, God, I'd choose her any day over you, over that loser. No.
Since when did Jenna become his number one? Since he is just mad that he messed it up and that he looks like a bad guy and that one of his options is closed to him. Like, he never showed any of this energy towards her the entire season. And then out of nowhere, now that she says, you can't have me, he's now, you know, pining for her. It's just the scarcity thing. It's like when there's like a thing you're thinking about getting on Amazon or something, and it's just like in your cart for weeks and weeks and weeks. And you're like, maybe I'll get it. Maybe I won't. And then one day it's like sold out and it's like next delivery orders in 4 months. And you're like, and then you like scour the internet to find it. Like, yeah. I wanted that thing so badly. I need it right now.
That's why Temu's like, only one left, only one left. Notification, there's only one left of that thing in your cart. If you don't order it, you're not going to get it. And she's like, oh my gosh, maybe I do need that caftan with the dolphin on it. Oh, better go over there and order it really quickly. It's like, I never craved eggs until they became like $10. And I was like, do I need eggs? So Ben, of course, giving total stereotypical Ben advice is like, a woman wouldn't say no unless you had a chance. No means yes. We're talking about women in 2026. Wow.
I know.
Very Ben of you to say, call her sugar tits, slap her on the ass, and throw her over your back, mate.
Finally, I'm here for work. And it's complicated enough, and it comes with enough strife, and love triangles are a terrible idea, and I'm just going to try to stay well away from it, because I am someone who spent $50,000 on a wedding that he never had. I'm sensitive now.
And he's like, okay, well, good talk. Thanks for the advice to not take no for an answer. That's great. I'll call you from prison. Okay, thanks. So then we go to Joao and Ellie sitting on the couch drinking wine, and she brings some chocolate. And she's like,
oh, here's some chocolate. It is just me. Nice, nice, sweet, sweet Ellie. So, Ben.
And he's like, yes, what about him?
Well, I did want to ask you something, because you're a manager of teams, and you're also his friend, and also you have such nice genetics that will grow inside of me until we have a king, a future king. Okay, so there's one thing Ben does. He never addresses me by my name.
He's like, you mean like he calls you sweetie, darling, love, things like that?
Baby, I'm not your schmooky. I'm not your pookie. I'm not your honey. I'm not your bunny. I'm not your all of this. What? What even is a donut dermal cranium?
But this is such a good conversation about cultural difference, because in Zim, when we say schmooky, pooky, honey, bunny, all of this all day long, it means, hello, how are you? I'm from Zim.
Yes, but... That is
the first female president of Zim was named Honeypuss.
Oh, I did not know that. But I don't want to be called Honeypuss. I don't want to go to Zim. I am Balkan. Balkan princess.
So then we get a nice montage of Ben being like, hello, boo-boo, sweetie pie, babe, love, honey, sugar elbows, puck-a-pooch.
Hey there, baklava bladder.
It's like, whoa.
Ginger toes.
Yeah, this is interesting, because I see this in comments sometimes talking about the show, when some people are like, well, that's, you know, sexist. He shouldn't be talking to women like that, which is where I land. I think that's so gross.
Yeah.
And then there are others that are like, well, it's a cultural difference. I'm sorry, but is that really what they're doing? I don't believe that that's what they're doing in his country. I don't believe that he would get away with that in 2026. That's crazy. That's just fucking crazy.
So Ellie has to accommodate herself to his culture. Will he accommodate her to her culture? I don't think so. So that's why I think the cultural difference thing is like kind of falls apart. Because I just also like, we've had a lot of British chefs on this show. We've had a lot of British people on the show. We've had a lot of British people on Bravo, and we've also met British people in real life, shockingly. And they are not every 2 seconds saying, hello, sweetie, honey, honey, pot, pot. However, I have met creepy people who say that kind of shit all the time. And that is I don't know if you call that a cultural difference, but it's definitely a communication difference.
I'm from the South. We do a little honey, sugar, sweetie. Hey there, hun. You know, we do a lot of that stuff. But I mean, to the extent that I have been told as well, like when I was waiting tables, and this was 20 years ago, but not the last time I waited tables, just when this happened. But I was waiting on a table of ladies. And I said something like, okay, hun, like something like that. And they were like mortified. And they were like, you do not speak to women. Like they let me have it at the table. And I was like, oh shit, sorry, I'm Southern. Sorry. But that was like 20 years ago was the first time I got smacked for that one. So I'm just surprised that it's all this time later. And it's like, what? It's just a cultural difference. No, it's a workplace. That is your culture. Your culture is being in a workplace. Mm-hmm. So Ellie's like, well, you know, but you don't work for him and he doesn't call you love for 18 hours a day. Of all the quirks he's got, this is the one that's going to set me off. I'm telling you right now.
Having a boss call me all of these pet names not only is unprofessional, you're diminishing me into this small, non-serious entity, like it's affecting me on a personal level. I mean, my family has gone through war. I've been bombed as an 8-year-old child. You know, I spent my early childhood having to sell fruits and vegetables in the market with my mother so she could buy me milk. And I took that milk and I would sell that milk so I could buy basket, and I'd take those baskets and fill it with more vegetables and sell the basket full of vegetables, and then I would buy cheese. And the point is, I've overcome so much in my life to become a strong, independent person, and I want to be shown respect, and I want to be treated as such, and that matters to me.
She's absolutely right. She totally deserves respect, and she doesn't even have to even sew in a war story. But I liked it because it's even more like, don't call me honey, I went through war. Like, what a great card to play. Like, if you have the war card, ugh, use it.
Well, I like that Ellie plays that card even over, like, simple things. Like, when he was like, could you, you know, I'm tired. He said something a couple weeks, like, I'm tired. She's like, I had bombs falling on my head when I was 8.
I like that she not only has the war card, she also has the post-war card of, like, selling vegetables in the market just to get milk. I was like, ugh. Beautiful. It's like no pun intended, chef's kiss. Like that is just like, use that card, like just get the mileage out of it, because you deserve it if you've been through that.
Have you ever tried offloading 2-day-old okra?
Just for some 2% milk.
So he's like, well, tell them directly that you don't like it. Well, which is actually, I don't know how Joao became like a somewhat sensible, decent person, but he did. And I think that's what she needs to do, but she doesn't. That's where things go. That's where things take a turn. I mean, I think if Ben was doing all of this and you told him like, hey, Ben, I don't like that. And he continued, or he gave you attitude or something like that. But you have to at least tell him. Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, it seems like the logic would be, yeah, oh, you should could you please not call me that? Yes. I think in a workplace, it gets tricky, especially to your supervisor. This is where it's a good time for there to be an HR. And unfortunately, there's not really an HR on these boats. So, I don't know. If anything, it might actually be a good idea for her to go to the captain, because he's
closest the captain
to HR, you know, and be like, I don't want to make this a big thing and I don't want to change our stuff, but like, you know, I don't really know how to approach this. She's sort of going to HR. Like, I actually respect her going to Joao and getting some advice from like a leadership person on the boat. Like, I think my first instinct as like on a human basis with how much we talk about these shows and personal interactions, it's always like, well, tell the person how you feel. But I just don't know if it's as cut and dry as that when you're in a work environment, unfortunately. And also when you're a woman and your supervisor is a man. Yada, yada, and yada.
Well, I guess you have to communicate it, is what I'm saying to somebody.
Communicate it.
Like, yes. It has to, somebody has to tell him.
Let someone know.
So, anyway, so he's like, tell him. So she's like, okay, I appreciate it. And it's the next morning, 4 hours till charter. And Alicia goes to the crew mess and Jason's there. And she's like, morning, Captain. I must apologize, Cap, for the helmet. It won't happen again, but really hope to never have it again. He's like, I would like that. That's it. That's all you're giving her. She did not wear that helmet after fucking up all charter, and you had to leave your viewing of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City to take to her at dinner. And that's it.
Yeah.
Cut her off from M&M's or something. I want to see something here.
I think I'm like ready for Alicia to go, quite frankly. So she says,
I love Alicia, disco. Though. I don't care.
You do?
I'm not ready for her to go. Yeah, I love her. I think she's really funny. And I love when anybody fights and it just cuts to her face and she's like smiling. She's like, oh my God, I love this. Like when the housewives were on, and you just see her little face poke behind a column or something. She's like, I love that she loves the mess.
She tells us, getting the disco ball helmet was a real pain point for me. I've already cried a couple of times and I've already gone to captain saying I want to quit, and to be given a second chance, like, for me, it means the stakes are really fucking high and I could be gone instantly. I'm like, yeah, you could be gone, which is why you shouldn't be fucking up so much and getting that helmet. And then you can't even be responsible enough to take the helmet with you.
I think she just left it on purpose because she didn't want to look stupid in the helmet, you know?
Well, there's that too.
So, which is even worse. So she's like, don't worry, I'm a one-time pony. And he's like, you've just got to turn it on, right? You've just got to turn it on. That fire that we all see in you, Alicia. Just kidding. He doesn't really say much. He just kind of blanks blankly. He gives us Homer Simpson blank, blank, like, well, you've just got to turn it on. Please don't cry. Please don't cry. Please don't cry. So then we go to the galley and Ben's in there and he's like, do you know where the instant coffee is, please? I really need some instant coffee, gelato glabella. Please.
I've never touched the instant coffee.
He's like, fuck, man.
Who washed these dishes? Like, there's still food on it.
He's like, well, I need to wake the fuck up and go for a swim quickly. I just want to wake up. It's going to be good for us. It'll be good. It'll be like we both took a swim, except I'm the only one swimming and you're doing the dishes. So I'm just going to jump in the water, love. That's it.
I'm just going to jump in the water after doing dishes badly, and you're here remedying that situation. All right, Shaglumps. See you later. She's like,
okay. Are you fucking kidding me right now? I'm doing my best, but he's really pushing it.
And then we see him. He's like putting on a bathrobe, heading down to the water.
He's getting good, laying there, staring up at the sun.
It's like definitely giving like 1920s like wellness retreat. Like, oh, I've got to get the salt air to like clean my lungs out. And he's just, yeah, luxuriating. And she's like,
oh, for fuck's sake, I really need to speak to Ben about this shit. Because he was like, okay, if you work extra hard, then you can start later. And then I'll start later. I start earlier, but so like, so make it all right.
Because she's like complaining to Daisy about this. And she's like,
but then I got to work and he's not even there. And, you know, you're like taking the piece.
And Daisy's like, you're completely valid in what you're saying. And it's not fair that it's coming down on you. I wasn't really listening to what you're saying. And I just figured I'd give you some of my standard Daisy advice so I can get out of this room and start doing what I have to do for the day.
Allie has come in as a hard worker, and I really think Ben needs to address this problem to start, you know, managing Allie more or less and less time in the guest bathrobe.
So she's like, I've got your back on that, I do. I completely agree with you 100%. So now Jason radios the engineers because the new oven is arriving, and it just cuts to Ben floating in the water like, blah, 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 blah. They're like, make a wish for Ben, you know, it's like make your mommy's wish come true day. So Alicia's like, we should put a bow on the oven. If I went to work and somebody gave me a stapler with a bow on it, I would throw the stapler at their head. This is not a gift. This is a work tool. You are forcing me to use this stapler. How dare you treat it like it's a gift? I want a gold watch. I want muffins.
I wish it were like a wacky 80s comedy where Ellie were so mad that she like did some sort of curse and then like Ben became the oven and the oven became Ben. Like they had like a body switch because she was so mad. And now she has to like communicate with this oven somehow. The oven's like, put a cake in me at 3:50.
What was that you said?
And it could be called My Chef, the Oven. It's actually more of a sitcom idea now that I think about it. I'm gonna have to pitch it to Warner Brothers.
Warner Brothers is going to be like, the lead has no charisma. You're like, it's an oven.
It's a British chef whose body was sent into the oven. What don't you get about this show?
Comedy so is back. Does the oven talk? It's an oven. It doesn't talk. Does it move? No, it can't move. It's an oven.
All right. Well, like the pitch 24 would be
episodes. 24 episodes. Give it a full
Ben season. He gets stung by an electric eel while he's swimming and dies. Just at the exact same moment that they plug in the oven for the first time, and his soul enters the oven and he becomes the oven. And Ellie becomes the head chef, but she doesn't totally know what to do. So she's, but no one can know that the oven is Ben. So there's a lot of hijinks where Ellie is like talking to the oven, and then Daisy walks in. Who are you talking to? No one. It's no one. And the audience laughs.
Why isn't this oven cooking my chicken? Bombs fell on my head.
It's like, take that, custard cilia.
Honey, this is a sitcom, not a good moment to talk about war.
So they do put a bow on this oven, and they're very proud of it. Like, Jason has his arm around Alicia. They're just staring at the new oven like, wow, we did it. We have something that should work, now working on a boat. This is where we've come. This is where we've come. You're proud of replacing an oven. So Ben's like, wow, look at that. It's massive. Look at this unadulterated potential in a box. That's what I call it.
Yes. Yes. That's what I think about every time I turn on the TV. So Jenna and Eddie are cleaning the bar, and Jenna's saying, Eddie and I are still colleagues. We need to be professional. And he's like, definitely I'm being a big boy now, and I'm in the process of learning my lesson. I'm just going to play and be myself, and I think she'll come around. I'm like, that's going to make it even worse, honestly. Don't be yourself.
Maybe she'll want me more tomorrow. So then we go to Jason, and it's preference sheet meeting time, everybody. All right, here we go. Charter number 4-4-4-4-4-4-4-day charter, everybody. And they're like, no, God. Oh, God, is that even legal? All right. Clay and his husband, Mark, after not having an official wedding party, their main goal is to have a once-in-a-lifetime memorable celebration of their love, years together with their group of best friends. They are gay, get as many Party City rainbows as you can possibly buy. All right.
And now
I want lots of 5-cent rainbow themed things. They are homosexuals. They only respond to rainbows.
Now let's go to glamorous Tampa, Florida, 3 weeks ago, where we meet Mark. And he's one of the co-primaries, and he's playing fetch with his dog, Arya. Arya Stark, if you will. And Clay tells us, I was actually looking for some new clothes, and I didn't have, I guess, fashion style. And Mark was the associate that came up to me and said, would you like me to help you? And so he did. And I said, oh, by the way, I'm very wealthy, and the rest is history.
Girl, this is like an old man, young man situation. That man went into a Tommy Bahamas and went home with the sales person. You see?
Yep.
Look, Jenna.
There's hope for Jenna.
This is a very Jenna positive episode.
Yeah. But it also shows that she can just stay on land, and it might even be easier. Well, it would be even easier about saying what's good about Mark in those situations is you have the wealthy person and they're feeling vulnerable because they're not sure about their decision. And then you can come in with like authority, and there could be like a Florence Nightingale situation. But instead of it being that like this nurse who saved you, it's like you're the person who gave someone really good fashion advice. And for us gays, that is kind of like a nurse.
It's a gay who saved your fashion sense.
Yeah.
But did he? Because we see some outfits on Clay, and I'm like, ooh.
Well,
I don't know. There's
limits. You know, but he's like, I got this at Tampa Fashion Week. So Mark is like, he's like, I thought he was handsome, kind, and genuine. So we exchanged numbers. And next thing you know, I'm on a yacht sipping espresso martinis and a mimosa. So Clay basically was like, yeah, let me show you why you should be interested in me. I'm taking you on a yacht. And the rest is history.
There you go. So Clay's like, we've been married a few years now. We didn't have a big shindig, if you will. This is our big event to celebrate our wedding. And then Jason's like, all right, Clay and Mark are joined by their friends Michelle, Alex, Christina, Shay, Mira, Mark's sister, Sophia. I'll just keep naming names. We've got 75 people coming on board.
Clay and Mark would like a yacht crew to set up a vow renewal on the sun deck, because they want to make sure that their relationship is doomed, and they would love Captain Jason to officiate because they want to also make sure they can go to sleep quickly.
The pressure is real. Like, this is supposed to be the most important day of their lives, and that's coming from me and my team. This is going to be a lot. It's a lot.
Look, it's 4 days. It's going to be busy. You've got to come out. You've got to come out of this raw, actually, like, empty in the tank. Okay, guys? So get to it. So everyone is prepping the boat, cleaning, and in the galley, Ben, of course, they include every single been like instance of saying sweetie and honey and whatever, because this is the blow up episode. So he's like, hello, sweetie, you all right? Squishy earlobes, how are you feeling? She's like, okay, peace, peace and tranquility. So he's just like looking at the oven. He's like, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life. I wonder if I can go swimming in it.
And then Ben and Daisy are talking on deck, and she's like, well, listen, Ben, sometimes I see Ellie in there, and you're not, and I worry she's going to get burnt out. And he's like, what are you even talking about? Well, I saw her there working the other day, and I didn't know if you clocked off, and I don't know if, look, that's the way you'd scheduled it, or, you know, if you're just being lazy or something. And he's like, no, no, it's not that. Listen, I've got to do menu planning. I've got to make sure the provisionings are right. I've got to scrutinize preference sheets. I've got to, you know, tan. I've got to get tan. I've got to get that sweet, salty water right in the middle of my belly button. You know how it is, Days. Come on, Days.
Look, I tremendously value Ellie, as I like to call her, gooey shinbones. And, you know, if two in a row exclaim that I'm the worst possible boss in the world, where does that leave me? Still, as an accomplished chef in them, as two people who complain a lot, I suppose. But I mean, I might be the worst boss in the world at that point. Maybe I am. Maybe Custard Kneecaps has a thought about this that might be true.
It's just the nature of the beast. It's not designed for the faint of heart. And I'm lucky to have her, because she is a trooper. She is a trooper.
So I think part of this is how he's setting expectations. I think it should be like, listen, I am the chef. You are not even a sous chef. You're an assistant. And your job is to clean my dishes. Mm-hmm. And cut things when I tell you to. And that's it.
Yeah.
I'm going to finish first, and you're going to have to clean all the dishes. And it sucks, but you're working your way up in the kitchen, and it's a lowly job, and eventually you work your way up. But right now, it's your first time. This is all you get to do. Because I think by setting it up like, we're a team, darling, and all this stuff, it's like, well, then why am I doing all the dishes? Well, you're doing all the dishes because that's your job, you know? Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, this goes beyond the honey pie sweetie stuff, honestly.
Yeah, I think it's okay to be like, unfortunately, you have to get hazed. Like, you do have to do the cleaning. Like, that's just, that's the way it is. Like, but like the, yeah, for sure, the honey pie and boo-boo and all that stuff, like, that's definitely got
to, yeah, that's a separate, yeah. That's a separate thing. Obviously, he needs to change that shit up.
Commercials, here comes one right now.
So then we go to Alicia and Jenna in the laundry room, and Alicia's like, oh my God, you know, it's like 9:45. Everything's in an absolute state. We're going to have guests in like 2 hours. Oh my God, clean, clean, clean. So we go back to the galley with Ben and Ellie, and he's like,
oh, hun, I just wanted to have a quick chat there, all right, my little chocolate chin. All right, I spoke to Daisy. She brought it to my attention that quite often she sees you doing dishes and stuff, and I'm, like, sitting down. And she's like, yes, well, the biggest issue for me was that I felt it was very insensitive on your part to just up and leave and just leave me on my own to clean. I really didn't like that. That upset me. We are one team. And it felt like a piss take, Ben, honestly. And you know, be like, oh, I just don't have the mental capacity. Like, what about me? It's insensitive. I sold vegetables.
Well, I'm sorry about that, fudgy follicles. It was very insensitive. And just communicate with me. He's like, if you think I'm missing something, like, be nice about it. Just, you know, give me a job, you know, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, well, huh, you want a job? Okay.
He's just like, okay, well, sorry that happened. Sorry that happened. Let's give a hug. Tighter, tighter. Oh, yeah. Hug me tighter. Hug me tighter. Yes. Good job, Colin Gakes.
If I got in on this tight hug, I would really like to be in on this.
Oh, God. It was too hard. It was too hard. Need a softer hug. So now, Daisy is, you know, bossing everybody around to get clean, get the boat cleaned and stuff. And Alicia is still worried about laundry, and she neglects the beds even after she was told only concentrate on the beds. So then, Daisy and Joao are in the crew mess.
Yeah. And Daisy's like, hello, how are you on deck? And he's like, well, would you want to come and wash some windows with me? And Daisy's like, no, what are you doing after the season? Are you going back to work? And he's like, well, I might just go back home. To be honest, I split my time between Majorca and South Africa, specifically Zim. So she goes, so is Palma your home? So, well, it was. I had a house with my ex. Here comes a sad story from Zim. And she goes, well, what? When did you break up?
It was November of last year. Is she Spanish? She's German. Does she have arms? She has three of them. How did that happen? I don't know. That's why we broke up. Too many arms.
Ah, she's German, so you love a foreign girl, don't ya? And he's like, ha, 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 ha. What the fuck is that supposed to mean? She's like, ah, well, just German. It's like going around the world. Now, Irish, have you dated an Irish girl before then? He's like, no, actually, I haven't. What about you? No, I haven't dated an Irish girl. But I don't have very successful relationships. Why? Have you watched this show? Do any of the countries you live in show this show, Gary? Okay.
I'm probably the kind of person, I'm just attracted to them. Absolute dickheads. Yeah, I like a dickhead. Well, what qualities do you look for? Well, I like secure people. Somebody who doesn't put me down. Men find me difficult, you know? Oh, well, you know, that's intimidating. Yes, it's kind of hot. It's like, well, yeah, maybe intimidating. Maybe that's the word. Because it takes a long time. It takes so long to break down my walls. Or like, whatever the fuck is going on inside of me. Yeah, it kind of sucks when in the end. But it is what it is. Get back to work, Joao. Why are you angry at me? What do you think you're looking for, genuinely? I'm like, what is this conversation? shouldn't you guys be getting ready for the guests that are coming in and you guys are having like a bachelor conversation?
Yeah, I feel like they're trying to make this happen and I don't believe this. I'm feeling no chemistry.
None.
Your best. None. But I think they're like, well, we're on below deck. We're supposed to do this. All right, let's give it the old go. They're like, wow. I like dickheads, but I'm not a dickhead this season. So I'm a very, very good person this season. Let's skip over the girlfriend broke up with me part. Let's not go into that.
Yes, it was totally innocent why that all happened. Nothing bad happened at all. Ha ha ha. I am charming. Look at me smiling and being supportive.
So now we go. Alicia's still doing laundry because she's just in there for whatever reason. And then in the galley, Ben's like, all right, I'm just going to pop this in the oven. I'd love you to check it out. You know about cakes, don't you?
What? Yes, remember I have a story about working in bakery at the war?
Oh, well, yes. So, do the cake. And back in the day, I used to get fucking punched and kicked and frying pans thrown at my head. And I was like, yeah, cheers, mate. I learned a lot from that. That was great. But this day and age, you can't really do that. Sad that you can't throw a cast iron skillet at someone's head just because they forgot to put the toothpick into cake, but I guess I'm growing and learning.
Yeah, it's funny how he's like, yeah, I used to get abused, so I'm not going to be abusive. I'm going to be nice, like this. Do you know what a cake is? Do you understand cakes, little sweet maple mumps?
Like, she literally just made an amazing birthday cake like two charters ago. Remember she made that thing, the edges that were sharp and clean and beautiful, and she put the strawberries on top. She like killed the cake assignment, and I was like, do you understand the concept of a cake? do you know what flour is? I'm not talking about the things that grow in the ground.
So now we go to Mike and Daisy, and she's like, are you ready for the new charter, Mike? He's like, I literally cannot wait. No, I'm being serious. I feel like with this charter, I'm going to come in with a positive mindset. I just want to keep learning and improving, you know? I just want to keep improving on what I'm doing. I just want you to know, I got your back. Got your back, Daisy. Got your back.
Oh, I'm going to do something that no one in the past 5 years has seen me do. I'm gonna smile, Mike. I think that's so great. Not a lot of people can self-reflect.
Wait a second, I think I missed a smile.
Too late. It's closed up again. You'll have to wait again another 6 years.
Come here and give me a hug, Mike. Give me a hug. And he's like, oh, all right, a hug. Oh, you smell lovely as well, by the way. Oh, God, Mike.
Shut up,
not
Mike.
Coming on to you. Freaking Mike, so gross.
I know. Alicia is still doing laundry and she says she's about to have a mental breakdown, which is exactly how I feel watching her about to have a mental breakdown.
Yeah. She's not going to win the Worker of the Year award. That's for sure.
No.
Well, I'm getting real conscious of time, guys. Ah, oh, for fuck's sake.
So we see that Alicia has left piles of towels on the floor and Daisy's like, oh, for fuck's sake, why did she do that? 40 minutes until we need to be ready. Come on.
Yeah, why is it like that? And Jenna's like, I'm just going to close it up and put it away real quick. So Daisy's, Alicia, just be wary of the things that you start from now on. That includes boyfriends.
Yeah. So now she's telling us Mark and Clay look super cute. She's so excited. She loves gays. So yeah. Now we go to the galley, and Ellie's like, I put the fish in the fridge.
Oh, thank you, sweetie. That's great. Wow, that's a good start. Thank you, darling, my little cookies cubitus. Doing a great job.
And the gays come on board, and Daisy gives them the tour. They love it. And then the deck crew is helping the anchors pull up, and it's fine. It's actually, there's not even any drama. It's just like you blink and the boat's already like heading out to sea. I was like, well, okay. Well, I guess we're not watching Below Deck anymore. Apparently not that we're saying there is drama when the anchors come up, but usually we have a 10-minute process and a commercial break to make us think the boat's about to sink. And this time they just let the boat just go out to sea without any issues. I was like, okay, great.
Yeah.
Felt a little, abandoned.
They've got enough going on today without relying on anchor drama. So the guests are unpacking, and one lady opens her closet, and there's like a panty liner on the wall of the closet, on the inside wall. And she's like, oh my God, oh my God, it's a panty liner. Oh my God, I've never seen anything like this in my life. Never in my life. Daisy, there's a panty liner in the closet, Daisy. She's on the floor having convulsions. There's a panty liner on it.
Who did that? I was trying to think about it. The last charter were those women. And I just don't see any of those women doing that. I don't see any of, was her name Mecca? I don't think that entire crew. I just don't see anyone doing that. They didn't get like drunk and crazy enough to do something like that. The one before that was that.
What if it was Mecca? She just reached down, grabbed it and slammed it on the wall and then said, you know what? That is my best. You just got Mecca'd.
Is this your best? And the charter before that was the ballroom dancer with like the white powdery face. So I'm like, was it, you know what? It probably was there since the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Probably Heather slapped it on there. Like, this is hilarious. Look at me being a wild girl right now. Right?
I actually would believe that 100%. And they just don't clean the interior closet walls.
No one noticed. Yeah. No one noticed. No one saw it. I think that it's either that or the producers just slapped it on there to create some drama. But I can actually see Heather, maybe Bronwyn. I mean, Bronwyn did, you know, instigate the uni attack, doing something like that. Or Whitney, for sure. This is like, or Brittany, like Brittany thinks she's being hilarious. I think it's Salt Lake City.
It could be like 90% of the cast of Salt Lake City, and I would believe it. Yeah. So Daisy comes in, and she sees it, and she goes, oh, gross. Why is it there, Daisy? Why is it there? It's a panty liner. It's like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. We'll get this clean for you. And Mike's just cracking up. He's like, I'm sorry. That's been down. That's my question. Whose pants have been down? Why didn't they call me? I would have been there for him. Love her.
Yeah.
Very attracted and like, to you, whoever's panty liner that is.
You look great, by the way. So someone else is like, you must go soak your hand with some bleach because you don't know where the F that's been. I mean, clearly it's been around. It's like, I'm so sorry about that. So I of like course, that Ben, they
said, clearly she's been around. Only sluts put their panty liners on the inside of closet walls.
Well, that's a slutty wall if I ever saw one. Closet of the sluts. So, of course, Mike gets it down to, like, his primary job, which is going to every single room of this boat and telling everyone about what happened. He's like, hey, Ben, guess what? The guest came downstairs, and there's a panty liner stuck on the cardboard. And they've stuck it to the wall. They found it. So glad I wasn't on cabins. I'm like, yeah, you've been in a cabin, and you all share responsibility for this. I firmly believe this panty liner was there for weeks. Weeks, I tell you, and no one saw it.
So now we go to Alicia taking drink orders, and the gays are like, hi, do you know how to make a paper airplane? She goes, I do. The drink. Oh, I thought you meant a physical one. But I can learn. Like, I can learn. He's like, yeah, it's called paper plane. I need a paper plane. What is a paper plane?
We're obviously going to look it up right now. Yes. But also, like, I kind of don't believe Alicia can make a real paper plane anyway. She's like, look, guys, I made a paper plane. It's like, that's just a wadded up ball of paper. But it's a plane. It can fly. I swear it could fly. Oh, mommy was right. I shouldn't have tried to go to aviation school.
The Paper Plane is a modern classic cocktail made with equal parts bourbon, Aperol, Amaro, Nonino, and fresh lemon juice, shaken and served up with a couple in a coupe or cocktail glass with a lemon twist garnish. It's known for its balanced sweet, sour, and bitter profile with a bright orange red hue and was created by bartender Sam Ross in 2008, named after the MIA song.
I was wondering if actually it was related to that. Guys, I was wondering. I already know. Like, I was like so on top of this.
I basically answered it in my head. I should have said that out loud.
I'm like so smart. Like, I was like, guys, it's obviously a cocktail based off of MIA.
I've been watching The Traitors UK season 4, which is amazing. Don't worry, I won't say any spoilers about it because it is the best season I've seen. You should definitely watch it. It's on Peacock.
I'm gonna watch it.
So everybody go watch it. It's so good. So anyway. Almost, I would say, like, most, I don't want to say percentage because I keep saying 90% today. I don't know why I keep saying that. But I would say that most of the roundtables, they get the person and then the person is not a traitor. And then someone goes, I knew it. I told you guys. No, you didn't. You never said anything. What are you talking about? They're one of those people like in the game, you know, you play Trivial Pursuit and they're like, I knew it. No, you didn't. Or you would have answered that. Like, why are you saying I knew it at the last second? You did not. Get points for saying you knew.
Yeah, shut up. Shut up, person.
Random person on the Traitors I haven't watched.
Yeah, shut up, person probably named Harry or, you know.
Gemma.
Or Hermione. I'm trying to think of like, I'm like liking on all the British names I've learned over the years from British UK, like from Love Island UK, and I can't think of any of them. So, does this cocktail look good?
You know what?
Yeah.
So that's say.
This cocktail, does it look good? I can't tell if it looks good. It looks sweet.
To me, no. It's too fruity and bitter for me personally.
Like a little Aperol goes a long way. I mean, I enjoy an Aperol spritz as much as anyone else, but like when there's too much Aperol, it's more like it's just garbage. Can't do it.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster. It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto. Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's not a McBee, she's a McBride. Jess McBride.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
K Sarah Sarah, whatever will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kissarino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Aren't you glad it's Marianne Arns?
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell. It's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Can I have a Kavanaugh? It's Anna Kavanaugh.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Hogle your horses, it's Christine Hogle.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
She's a total knockout, it's Katie Manock.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible, edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
Maximum love for Sandy Maximoska.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Tell of Sun.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.